It's Daily Thunder, booming out the truth of Jesus Christ from the Ellerslie campus in Windsor, Colorado. To learn more, go to Ellerslie.com. This is part two in a new series that I am starting. It's called Legendary, and I'm in the chapel, and we're going through four episodes in one night. So I just finished up one, and we are headed into the second one now. For those of you that listen in and know that I'm supposed to keep myself to a half hour for each of these messages to be able to get done in time, obviously I'm going to have to make up some time by cutting things shorter as we go. This is actually, I think, a shorter message. I mean, hopefully we'll find out that that's the case. But the first one was very special to me, and it's a unique thing for me to walk through this, okay? Emotionally, spiritually, this is a very significant thing, and I feel like I am making a statement on earth by paying tribute to my father, by creating a 12-part series of remembering him. The subtitle of this series is When Remarkable Feats Are Performed by Seemingly Unremarkable People. Now, fun side note on this picture. And I didn't mention it to start out the whole thing because I didn't want everyone distracted going into the first one, but you can be distracted in this one. This is really funny. The picture was actually cropped halfway through my dad's head and right under my chin, okay? And it was just a short close-up picture. So I took it into one of these AI programs to expand the picture, and it gave my dad a full head of hair. And that was really funny to me. And I wish I had taken a picture of it because it was so funny to me. And then I expanded out the picture to give some girth to it so I could actually have some titling space in it. And it put another guy in the picture. So it was me and my dad with this character that was suddenly thrown in there. I mean, really funny. And I forgot to take a picture. I thought that would have been one of the best things to say, hey guys, in one of the upcoming episodes, I'm not gonna tell you which one, I'm gonna show you that picture. And I didn't do that. So I should have just come up with another way of doing it, just stick a fake guy in there anyways. But this series is called Legendary, and it's dedicated to my father, who was a legend to me. The Gift of a New Beginning is the name of this one. New beginnings. My dad offered them to me time and time and time again. I witnessed something through my dad and his nature. My dad is different than me. And my dad is not one of those guys that is going to be a visionary, a world changer, a world beater, whatever the term would be. And to me, that was, in a sense, a strike against him when I was growing up, because I had so much world-changing passion stirring inside of me. I remember telling my mom I wanted to do something that had never been done in the world. And my mom read me something about from Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. That really bothered me, too. And so I was like, well, I don't think that's what it's referring to. But I wanted to, you know, I tried to invent a solar-powered car before a solar-powered car ever would come out. And I didn't realize you had to invent something that's a little different than drawing a picture of it. But I mean, I was wanting to do something big. I wanted to make a splash. And my dad was content in living a smaller life. And that was really hard for me to see him as my example when my wiring was so different. Now, hopefully you've already picked up, if you listen to the first episode, that my dad modeled something so amazing for me that I have so needed in my life. God gave me exactly what I needed in my dad. I don't even know what would have happened to me. I probably would have blown up somewhere along the line if I had a dad like me. I mean, think about that. I mean, what's going to happen? That's like a chemical reaction. You can't have too many Erics in the room. So my dad offered me new beginnings. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by that, but new beginnings are a very, very precious thing. So if my earthly father offered new beginnings, how much more my heavenly father? Have you ever had it where you scrape your knee, you blow it, you make a mistake, and there is a key character in your life? When you're young, it's your parents, right? And they could really grind you into the dirt on this one, especially since they told you not to do it. You willfully did the very thing they said you shouldn't do, and now you're caught red-handed. Now, a parent in those situations could easily begin to label you, and they could have you all figured out. I know the course of your life. This is what it's going to be. And they pronounce judgment over your life. And guess what? It's reasonable. They're correct. That is where you are heading. The amazing thing, though, is that when you understand the kingdom of heaven, you recognize that when you blow it and when you fumble it, when you make that mistake, your God doesn't see that as your future. He sees his work covering that. That is how he sees us. He desires us to be rescued from our frailties. And so one of the great gifts that God gave me in my life was a father who always saw the best in his kids. It's an incredible quality that it took me a long time to see the virtue of, because it seemed too soft, like when it was, especially when it was aimed towards my brother. It's just like, and my dad's always like, no, he's going to turn out great. And I'm like, what in the world? Look at that behavior. And it's like, if God had put a mirror back on me and said, Eric, do you want that treatment? What about your behavior? But it's funny how brothers can, you know, behave. So the expert at new beginnings. So, of course, my first beginning, which was my birth, right? He was a big part of my actual birth, right? So that is a new beginning. So even in that sense, that's different than any other relationship I have. My dad was a part of my first new beginning. Second, he determined to show me Jesus and not show me his father. Now, for some of you, you might understand what I mean by that, that when you have been parented, let's say incorrectly or not fully, then your desire is to not just pass on the same thing to your child which injured you. And so you resolve. Now, my dad was resolving to do something that he hadn't received. And that's hard. When you don't have a model for something, it is very difficult to pass along something new. But he wanted to show me a Heavenly Father, and he didn't want to show me just my grandpa in how he parented me. And that is what I could call a new beginning. My dad, when I'm born and I'm growing up, he is deliberately choosing to give me something new than was in the Ludi line. He introduced me to Jesus Christ. That's a new beginning. In other words, he's actually a part of the very core fabric of my February 2nd, 1990 new beginning, where I am transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the dear Son. And probably the one that is most applicable in this message is he showed mercy toward my fumbles and failures along the way. In fact, some of you might even say he was too big of a softy, because he was the exact opposite of his father in how he responded to my frailties. My dad came home from Alaska, where he'd worked on a fishing boat up there. It was probably one of those things back then where it's like, you can make, you know, $20 an hour up in this, you know, they always bait people up into this miserable experience up in Alaska. And so my dad went through this, and he grew a little beard. I've never seen my dad in a beard. My grandpa would not take a picture of it when my dad showed up. And the first thing my grandpa did when my dad showed up, he said, you're going to shave that. That was his response. That was his homecoming. And my dad deliberately chose to respond to us differently. To, in a sense, if he was a dog, to wag his tail every time he saw us, even if we had a beard. Now, Eric never grew a beard, right? And you could say, why not? Well, there's something in the Ludi line that is deeply rooted. And so it's just weird stuff like that that just gets handed down from generation to generation. The three seats of grace. And I've talked about this before at Ellerslie, but it's a profound picture of the father heart of God that I witnessed in my dad. And so if we were to set up three chairs up here on the stage, and let's say the first chair is what we could call the ideal. So I'll just put it over here, okay? The first chair is the ideal behavior, where when we are tempted, when we are enticed, what do? We stiff arm it back. We say, no, not on your life. I belong to Jesus Christ. And we're like, yeah, go Ludi, right? That's what a parent trains their child for, is to be excellent in relationship to this world around them and the bait that wants to tempt and corrode their soul. Chair one. There's grace for chair one. Did you guys know that? That God will supply us everything we need to thrive in chair one. He will. And that's a parent's design. That's God as a heavenly father. That's his design for us. But not all of us walk in that design. I know we don't need to pass notes and compare notes on that, but that's humanity is frail. And so chair two is following the carrot bait as it lures us and woos us away from the clear truth, the right behavior, into a wrong territory. I don't know if any of you have ever sat in chair two, but chair two is not a fun place to be because everything about it is miserable, especially when you wake up. But your mind begins to blur and your senses become weird and you find yourself controlled by something other than truth. And in your head, you're going, I shouldn't be here. But it's like, I shouldn't be here. And you don't speak even clearly to your own soul, and you do not have resolution back. And it feels hard to swing your sword. Chair two is a compromising position. It's Jonah getting on the ship to Tarshish. You see, he's not in Tarshish, but he's on the ship to Tarshish. In which direction is he going? The wrong way. Is there any hope for Jonah? It's a key question because a good parent needs to know the difference between hope and no hope. Because if our relationship with God is suddenly sabotaged and we have no more hope in this world if we ever get on the ship to Tarshish, then I say that we should all just go home right now. Because I guarantee you in a room this size, that doesn't matter how big the room is, by the way, that every single one of us is very familiar with a ship to Tarshish. And we have made decisions, even willfully, that have taken us away from chair one, which is the ideal plan for our Father in heaven. However, I want to remind us that there's grace for chair two. Did you know that God will interrupt our downward spiral because he loves us? I mean, just look at Jonah. God didn't give up on Jonah just because Jonah got on the ship to Tarshish. Yeah, it took a little splash of cold water and a whale, or a big fish technically, a great fish. And yet, this is exactly what God wants to do in our life. If you find yourself in chair two, then God wants to give you grace. He wants to help you back to chair one. And he will take even what the enemy is misleading you and lying to you about, and he will leverage that for even a greater strength. If you've ever been to chair two and returned to a healthy relationship with God, guess what? You're stronger for it. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Heavenly Father in action right there. That's why Paul has to clarify. That doesn't mean God's wanting you to go to chair two. It just means that if you do, God will get glory out of it. Chair three. Chair three is one of those things we don't even like to talk about in the church, lest any of you ever consider going there. I mean, it's complete ridiculousness. It's like prodigal son type of stuff. I mean, you don't even want to talk about it lest someone says, well, the prodigal son turned out just fine. That's not good reasoning in the kingdom of heaven. It's like, oh, God's grace will cover it. Cheapening grace is a very dangerous thing to mess with. But let's just imagine for a second that you made it all the way to the Tarshish, that you pulled the prodigal son routine. And you ended up in chair three, completely rejecting all truth, even the conviction of the Holy Spirit along the way. I want to say something to you, and I want you guys to listen closely. There's grace for chair three. You see, a good father is still fogging up the windows looking for the return of his child. That is an amazing truth of the kingdom of heaven, and what happens when an earthly parent models it? You get a message like this. You see, my dad may not have been the grandiose, big vision guy to change the world. I remember Googling, Leslie and I were having all sorts of problems with Google back in the day. You know, we weren't really that excited about being known. And it was just like, life is rather miserable. I wish the internet didn't exist. Okay, I remember having that distinct thought. I still could have it right now if you want me to. And so I remember Googling my parents to see what they were dealing with. They had one thing on all the internet, and that was in my bio. And it's like, what a luxury that is. However, what it also states is they are not known in the classic sense. They weren't living a life that would cause them to necessarily be besmirched on the internet. They lived a simple life, but everyone in their zone knew my parents and loved my parents. they changed people's lives, but not in a way that necessarily people would think of writing books about. So I have the three seats of grace. Resist is the first seat. That's what we're supposed to do. But what if we don't? We compromise. Oh, no. What if we collapse? You see, the grace of our Father in heaven is there to establish, to reestablish. God never invites us into the third chair. But if we ever end up there, the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ is available to us. A father is still waiting like this with open arms saying, son, I love you. Come back home, please. I did not give up so much for you to leave you there. I gave all of that to you so that you could thrive. Please accept my mercy. Three key ingredients of a new beginning. Redemptive working is his specialty. These are just three meditations, okay? So when you're in that second seat or that third seat, you need to remember some things. His redemptive working is his specialty. He is very good at turning our boneheaded behaviors into tributes to his glory. The question is, can you hand it to him? Can you humble yourself and freshly come to him? He's really good at redemption. His mercies are new every single morning. And sometimes you need to remind yourself that they're new every afternoon too. You don't need to wait through the night before his mercies are new and fresh. He has the father heart. It's amazing that Jesus is the one sharing the story of that prodigal son, to show the behavior and the thought process of a father that is so out of bounds and so extreme that we as humans can't actually fathom it. Most of us dismiss it as like, well, I would never be that extreme anyways. So we don't oftentimes see it. But if you're ever in the prodigal situation, boy, that story is encouraging. What is the third truth? He wants to rescue you. Those are truths that you need to remember. Newness, it's central to the Christian life. God loves to bring newness to your life. So when I talk about new beginnings and I talk about my dad was always ready to start afresh. All right, that was a mistake, but let's start afresh. Let's start afresh. It's probably where I got my love for the word afresh. You guys ever notice I have certain words that I use a lot? Afresh is one of them. I never once felt that my dad was mad at me. Okay, I'm making a statement there that might seem a little hyperbolized, but it's true. I cannot remember, and I've been trying to think of a time where I actually felt that my dad was mad at me. I don't know that my kids can give this same tribute message and put that up on the board. My personality and my dad's are very different. And I am far more emotionally charged. And so I'm strong in various areas that probably have made life in the Ludi home very different than life in my Ludi home that I grew up in. But my dad has shown me something that it's taken me a long time to see. And that is that when I would blow it or make mistakes, he didn't hesitate in giving mercy. He didn't hesitate in giving forgiveness. It was just already there. And you could say, well, you could really take advantage of that. I don't know that I ever tried. I always think of like Jem and Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird. And it's just like, I watch it and I'm like, come on, Atticus Finch. You guys, I don't know if you know the story, but he's like, he's soft. Come on, you know, be a little more firm. Jem and Finch are going to, Finch, why does that sound funny? Jem and Scout, their last name was Finch. Did I say Jem and Finch before? Okay. Jem and Scout. But no wonder you guys are confused. Jem and Scout are just like seemingly walking all over their dad, but at the same time, they had a guard because they wanted to honor their father and they never wanted to do something that would cause them to be on the bad side of their father. They never wanted the disapproval of their father. So actually a profound thing, and my dad was very similar to that. I never once felt that my dad was mad at me. Hurt by me? Yes. Never mad at me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So just as a principle of the gospel, when you're in Christ, you have newness. And newness is very, very special. For those of you that are stuck in a second chair, third chair type of quadrant of life right now, you need to know that in Christ there's newness. And his arms are open wide. He's fogging up windows saying, come home. You see, our God hates sin. Our God hates compromise. It's not like he's a fan of it, but it's because he loves us. And just because we have participated in sinful behavior doesn't mean he's thrown us out with the trash. The reason he came to this earth was to separate us from it, rescue us from it. And he has a constancy of love and mercy toward us. The expert at new mercies. You know, it's funny because I think of my dad, you know, when I'm growing up and I'm looking for, you know, the great football player, the great public speaker, the great author, the great actor. I mean, come on. Dad, you're a great manager at AT&T? I mean, what? That? Come on. Let's get your game on. He did have his game on. But he had it on in a way that I at first could not appreciate. I couldn't see its value. My dad was an expert in something that is so rare in this world, and that is his mercies were new every morning. He was a man of mercy. He was a man of new beginnings constantly. We can do this better. Come on. Look, that's forgiven. Let's move on. He always had a future and a hope for his children. All right, guys, so remember, at the end of each one of these, I have a picture that just says it. And so this is picture number two. Eric, here's a fresh start. Now, it's not a profound picture, I have to admit, but it's pretty cool. I mean, I don't have a lot of pictures to choose from, but there's my dad, there's my sister, and there's me as a baby. And I like that his shirt is green. It sort of reminds me of new beginnings. And there's baby Eric. My dad gave me a new beginning. Or should I say it this way? New beginnings. Plural. My dad specialized in giving us new beginnings. Leslie and I still laugh about it. There's one story where my mom was looking at a picture from my sister's wedding, and she was like, it looks like her dress is sort of like, you know, flopping in this area. My dad can never say anything negative about any of his kids, ever. So he says, it was great. And my mom says something like, he can never say anything negative. But that was actually who he was. It was always positive. It doesn't matter what I did in life, he was a fan of it. It doesn't matter what any of his kids did. We were the best at whatever we did. He used to run our book table. And my dad, it was so embarrassing because my dad bragged about our books. I don't even know that he ever read them, right? But he was just, there was nothing better than an Eric and Leslie Luty book. I mean, these are the best books in the world. And he was so unabashedly biased towards his kids. It's a beautiful quality, though a little awkward at times for the child. Father, I pray that we would encounter your mercies afresh today. Because if an earthly father can show such mercy and such newness of opportunity, how much more so our Father in heaven? Lord, I pray that we would bask in your mercy afresh today, no matter where we're at. We are children in need of grace, whether that's in chair 1, 2, or 3. Lord, the only way we live this is by your mercies and grace. We love you. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray this. Amen.
Daily Thunder is a listener-supported production of Ellerslie Discipleship Training. At Ellerslie, we are laboring to rouse the Church of Jesus Christ out of its lethargy and build brave-hearted Christians for such a time as this. If you'd like to learn more about Ellerslie, our discipleship programs, or support the ministry financially, please go to ellerslie.com to learn more. Thanks for listening.